My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Good morning, everybody. This is another glorious episode of Growing Good. It's an exciting day in the station. I have a phone-in top celebrity eco model Summer Rain Oaks on the line. Summer, are you there?
Hey there. Yes, I am. How are you?
Good. We did it. We made it. Summer has been so accommodating to my mommy schedule, and we're so grateful that she's here with us today. So that alone puts her aside of all other models that I know. But she has so many accomplishments. I mean, almost too many to mention in the next half hour. She is the author of the best-selling book called Style Naturally, the savvy shopping guide to sustainable fashion and beauty that she wrote herself. So many things. So I'll just go right into it, Summer, because I mean, you've just kind of become a pioneer in sustainable fashion. But I've done a lot of shows on how to, you know, live sustainably as a unit, as a family unit, as an entity, just in your everyday life. But the topics that you're tackling, which I'm actually foreign to, are, you know, the fashion industry and how to be sustainable, you know, in a mass market, you know, with mass supply and demand. So that's actually a foreign concept to me. And I was just wondering, you know, what are your primary concerns and issues, you know, that you are dealing with and that you're trying to tackle?
Well, I think the most interesting thing that's happening in the fashion industry that has intrigued me the most and I have been involved with now a little bit more on a perfunctory level than what I had been in the past, but the Sustainable Apparel Coalition is actually doing, and this stemmed out of the Outdoor Industry Association's Eco Index, which is basically the whole premise is, you know, look at guys, you know, no one's going to win in this quote unquote sustainability race within fashion, no matter if you're the rabbit or the hare, because if we can't agree on what the starting line is in the first place. So what they're basically doing is taking all of the major brands, nonprofits, even, you know, fashion designer, smaller brands and startups, and they're creating a unified methodology and metrics for measuring sustainability. And that, to me, it kind of brings out the little like kind of geek in me a bit, because one, it's a necessary thing. It's not necessarily the most glamorous, but it's very heartening to know that this is a very collaborative, open source, transparent process, and that everybody's involved in it, from, you know, as high end as luxury labels like Gucci and the folks at LVMH, all the way to sportier brands like Nike and Puma, to smaller brands as well. It just is one of those kind of tools that is open and accessible for everyone involved in the fashion industry. So that's the stuff that intrigues me the most at this juncture. And I think that it will be a continuing and evolving role within the fashion industry as we move towards like transparency of supply chain.
Well, that's great, and I believe that all this was the inspiration for something that you launched called Source for Style in 2010, which,
yes.
I was peeking all through it, and me not being a designer, it's not for an everyday shopper. It's for the actual designers themselves, and you provide them with connections to suppliers all around the world, and there's also a blog and just like really cool photos of where the materials come from. And I mean, I was reading some other articles of some other countries that are kind of tackling these issues, like the UK and Amsterdam. I mean, just all over. But one of your biggest backers in this has been the UN, right? The United Nations. You've spoken for them plenty. Right?
Yeah, the UN has been really supportive, and there's so many different divisions. Actually, one of my great friends was just in town for Fashion Week. His name is Eduardo, and he heads up UNCTAD, which is the UN Council on Trade and Development, and they've been really integral in kind of talking about biodiversity within the fashion context. And in 2010, it was announced that this is the decade for biodiversity, and you know, the UN, for how big and non-nimble of an agency that it is, it does come out with a lot of great research that's pretty dense. I mean, it doesn't always necessarily get communicated fairly well, but they've been very supportive because I've been able to speak at a number of their conferences and be able to disseminate some of that hard-to-access or esoteric research that they do and put it out into more layman's terms, if you will, because I think part of the challenge and part of the challenge and as well maybe the gift in what I do is being able to try to get it out to a wider audience.
Right, and I have a lovely quote that I pulled of yours. Well, I don't know if it's a quote, but from an article that, you know, where you stated that your ultimate goal was to seemingly use your environmental values, which you began actually as a student at Cornell University, which is so rad, and then kind of bring those values into your modeling career and then use the leverage, you know, to create real change through your modeling career, which I think is really amazing. So what have been some of, you know, when you started modeling, obviously, and this long career that you've had, what were some of, like, you know, the highlights for you in the some of the change that you've created? You know, just some fond memories of things that have, like, really happened through your work.
Well, I mean, I think that the coolest things have been a lot of the collaborations that I've been engaging with a number of brands. And I think that I had never foresaw that as a possibility, because when I went into the fashion industry, I thought, you know, that it wasn't necessarily a career for me, that it was just a way into the industry to promote my environmental values. But the fact that it was able to really take hold and start a career has been really, you know, wonderful. And collaborating with a number of brands, you know, Payless, we did a
right,
shoe collection.
I saw that you did a shoe collection.
About a year to develop, and then we launched the collection called Zoe and Zach, and it was really a first for a brand like Payless. You know, they have 4,600 locations around North and South, Central and South America, and to be able to create a collection of shoes that were affordable, higher price than what they normally had, but still affordable, and use more environmentally responsible materials was a big first step for them. As well on the external side, but internally I was really happy to see kind of what they were doing as far as kind of greening up their operations and, you know, having and setting up a sustainability task force. So these are some of the things that I've really liked to see with brands like that and working with Moto currently. I do a design line for their eyewear called Eco by Summarine Oaks, and it's the first eyewear line that is completely, you know, 95% third-party certified recycled, both metal and plastic.
Wow.
And I really love, you know, kind of working with brands who are either at the cutting edge or are, you know, making that first step for change within their brand lines. And I think that, you know, I've been very fortunate enough in my career to be able to you know, turn a profit and reinvest back into my ideas. And Source for Style, as well as, you know, also to mention my business partner, Benita Singh, who's currently running the company. You know, that's just a real pleasure. You know, I mean, to be able to go and say, okay, well, I have ideas beyond this. You know, initially the idea behind Source for Style is, you know, how do we scale up the operations? You know, I might be able to work personally with four or five brands, but, you know, how do we get more sustainable materials into the hands of many designers around the world? And, you know, currently Source for Style works with designers in over 70 countries, and we source in close to 30 countries around the world. So it's a huge achievement just as far as kind of scale goes. And that's, you know, that personally is like a really, you know, big highlight. And of course there's been others, but, you know, those are some that come to top of mind.
Sure. Okay. And you know, there's so many green products. So we're talking about the shoe line that Summer created for Payless and an eco a glassware line that she made and that was 50s inspired, I read online. But that sourceforstyle.com, this is where designers can actually get these sustainable products to create their lines. And I mean, I have lots of friends and moms and that are designing, and so this is something that's open to the public. It doesn't matter how small or big the line, Summer.
Yeah, so it is a business-to-business marketplace. So mm-hmm. it's not necessarily consumer. Right now it sells textiles, so it's right. putting you directly with the supplier. But the good thing about the site itself is that it has its minimums and its maximums. So if you're, say, you know, just starting out and you're creating your own design line, and you want to buy materials, I mean, clearly you're probably not going to buy, you know, 500 yards. So you want to be able to pay attention and search for the suppliers who actually have mm-hmm. maybe 1 or 10 or 15 yard minimum. So it is best, I think, for people who are familiar with sourcing. And I think, you know, part of what we found out is that, you know, my friends who are designers who know how to source, and, you know, some of them are more savvy than others, you know, they just were spending 85% of their time sourcing, and it costs. You know, if you want to go to India and you want to go and source, you know, it costs for the plane ticket, where you're staying, you know, it's you get the aspect of being able to see the material up front and going on the adventure, but sometimes you just don't have the extra cash in your pocket. So this is basically based on a subscription-based model, and you go and see where the material is. You could actually order swatches, and that's one thing that Source for Style actually inventories is a swatch, so you actually get to feel and look at the material up front. So I think that it has something for everybody, but you just have to pay attention whether you're a smaller designer and you're looking for a specific minimum to make sure that's part of the restrictions when you're searching online.
Yeah, it's amazing what you've created, you and your partner. And so obviously from the obvious, the cut of cost, sustainability, what else about the materials? I mean, are you picky about the factories that you choose, for example, the humane aspects of them and the actual materials themselves? Like what else makes it like really, you know, eco-friendly?
Yeah, we're looking at everything from having something that's recycled or upcycled to fair trade or socially certified to preservation of craft and culture to just generally more environmentally preferable. So, for instance, you know, an irrigated cotton falls off less than you would have with a rain-fed organic cotton. So there's a number of different aspects that we look for, and it normally has to fall into one of those criteria. Mm-hmm. But really for us, it's about opening up the transparency of the supply chain. So if you're a premium level member on Source for Style, you can actually download all the certifications that oh. comes associated with that product line. Now, there's definitely like some loopholes that, you know, suppliers could actually pull, and we do often tell you to have the due diligence, but the main aspect of Source for Style is to really be that kind of first level of vetting to allow mm-hmm. you to reduce your search costs to find better stuff. And if you want to actually, you know, send a third-party certifier to make sure that that's precisely what you're getting, well, then, you know, go ahead and do it. But we try to do all that due diligence in the beginning. I mean, really, it's hard to be everything. I would like to say that we've gone to every single factory to see, but and we've seen a majority, but from a point of scale, that's nearly impossible. The key point for us is building the platform so that designers and suppliers can actually connect more easily and more readily and have some of the transparency of the operation opened up to them so that they can make the best choice and the best decision for their brand line.
But I'm completely following you, and that explains my question directly. I mean, as a parent, this is a parenting show, but it's like parenting what you're doing to the fashion world, because, you know, when I, having my son completely changed, I want to know what's going on, where it's coming from, who's touched it, and this is a service that you're also providing for your customers at Source for Style. You're giving them an in-depth look inside what they're getting, as opposed to just going around at a trade show and just blindly buying and like not having those facts at hand. And I think that's super cool.
And, I really do think, I mean, you know, a lot of consciousness comes from parents, and I'd have to say that a lot of the people who are first coming to our site to source have been designers who are sourcing to do kids lines.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, part of where the impetus for consciousness stems from a lot of people.
Well, it's like I said, for me, this, like, you know, you have your background at Cornell, and I want to talk a little bit about that. I mean, you were there, and you were there on environmental studies. That was your passion from the get-go. That's where you come from. And
yeah.
For me, though, I was like just blindly living and until my pregnancy, and that was what changed my world, you know? So everybody has that moment, and I definitely think parenting just makes you, you know, breeding just makes you become like really hyper-conscious about like what you're putting in your body, what you're cleaning your home with, you know, and this is really cool. And so, I mean, coming through all these journeys and all these products that all of you guys can find out more about at summerrain.net. Now, that's Rain, RAYNE.net, and she's got a great site up. She keeps you up to speed on like all her projects, all her future products, past products, anything that's going on. So you can get like a whole look at her actual designing and influences. But you've actually achieved what you wanted as a model, because the big news of the summer is that you, without even knowing it, inspired Toyota to build a car where Paul Hirsch, you didn't even know, but you were his muse to create the new Prius C car. And then once you guys got together, they actually named the color after you, Summer Rain. I mean, how amazing is that? So you've achieved your goal, because you didn't even know that was happening, right?
Yeah, I had no clue. I got a call from actually the production company, who had heard about how I was the inspiration behind this vehicle. And they wanted me to basically shoot an internal video for the sales staff, because oftentimes they get the sales together. It's kind of like the big upfront for any kind of television show, and they have the upfront and they reveal things to the advertisers. So this is the same thing. It's kind of the upfront for all the Toyota sales people. And they said, you know, this is the girl who inspired the car. And I supposedly they took me over to Japan and kind of showed it to them, because the Prius C is under a different name, but it's being sold in Japan as well. And I actually had just reached out to Paul again, no more than 2 weeks ago, and one of my friends was looking to purchase the Summer Rain color, and he was having trouble. It was like, you know, he couldn't get it for months. And so I reached out to Paul Hirsch and I said, hey, you know, my friend said it's been difficult to get Summer Rain car, you know, what's going on, how's it selling, you know? And he said well, the Prius C is like selling off like hotcakes. That it's doing really well, and to top it off, Summer Rain's the number one selling color within the Prius C family. And I was like, well,
wow,
that's really good to know. So it's selling well with or without me, because I thought
right.
It was quite funny, because I don't even have a driver's license. So
no,
the car was
wait, but they let you drive the car,
like, you know, for me, and I'm like, good, you guys, you could have even asked me.
But you did drive this car, because I think. Right? I mean, they let you drive it illegally. Okay, we won't tell anybody. But what were some of your favorite features about the car?
Well, I think part of it is that it's very like tech savvy, and I think a number of cars have this as well. Is that you could log on to like OpenTable or get your Pandora and stream your music. So
cool.
You know, it's kind of up with the times, you know, if you will. And also, it's just small and manageable. Like if I always get a little bit nervous, like. If I ever let it be known, I do have a driver's license. It's just been not renewed for like 8 years. I would never want to get behind the wheel of a giant car. I think I would feel a little bit out of control. So it's very nice that it's just small, that it's compact, And also that it's fairly affordable.
That's wonderful, Summer. I mean, it's so inspiring talking to you. And moving along with just like how your modeling career goes into these amazing things that you do, I read that you had a shoot at the end of June in Rio, right? And then because of the shoot, they asked you to come back and speak about on the future of sustainability in the fashion industry at something called Rio Plus 20, UN conference.
Yeah. So I was in Brazil in June for a very big campaign that it's unfortunately embargoed, so I can't tell you what it is.
No problem.
It'll be coming out at the end of November, the Danish government actually asked me to come back down to Rio, and Brazil is kind of like a hotbed for environmental stuff. You know, maybe a decade ago it was the hotbed for models, and probably still is. But it's now turned its focus. You know, it has its first woman president. It's going to be the center stage for the Olympics and for the World Cup, and. Rio Plus 20, which was started by the United Nations, is also down there. Unfortunately, there wasn't much accomplished while down there, but we did speak at a fashion summit, and it was really nice to see, because the Danish government, who helped jumpstart that, has been very, very, very involved with the focus of sustainability throughout the textiles and the fashion industry, which is very nice because the Danes have a great aesthetic sense as well.
But this all happened because you went down there for work, for a shoot, and then basically you're just you let it be known wherever you go what else is going on, and this sprouted from a photo shoot, right?
Well, you know, I mean, part of that is true, but in an indirect sense, because when I went down there for the photo shoot, I was like, oh, there, I could actually very much be back here in a couple weeks,
right?
Because I've just been engaging with the Danes about flying me down there again for the Rio Plus 20 event, and I was uncertain with my schedule because it was a little last minute whether it actually even happened. So, I mean, I think what part of it though stems from is, you know, I do wear kind of like my work on my sleeve, and because it's you know very much my life and my lifestyle, it's really become, you know, my mantra, if you will, and and so I don't necessarily hide anything, because it's who I am,
and still that's
impossible to mask that.
Right, but that was still all the research of yourself and your team and connecting those dots. And I bring it up because the real lesson here is, you know, you can be a doctor, you can be a dentist, you can be a lawyer, you can be a housewife. You can connect these principles to your everyday. I mean, but it takes a lot of work, a lot of concentration, and a lot of research. It's progressive. It's happening now. You can decide to jump on the bandwagon, or you can decide to jump on your brand, your own wagon, if you have an idea and the incentive to do so. And that's why I really wanted you on the show, because, you know, mothering is a full-time job and modeling is a full-time job, but look at how you've just, you know, flowered it into so many aspects, just right, left, and everything's happening, and it's really awesome and far out. The book is, again, like I mentioned, it's called, this is just, I guess, I'm just, you know, plugging it. I know it was released in 2009, but, you know, you can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it wherever you want. And it's just such a great introduction to Summer. And what was it like writing that book? Can you just take us through like a brief like category of what somebody would find in purchasing your book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you ask what was it like writing the book, or what
both,
it is,
both.
What it is like?
Both.
What it was like writing the book was pretty intense. What the book is like, I mean, basically the book is for women who love style but wouldn't necessarily have green in their lexicon. And, you know, the book is separated into half and half fashion, half and beauty. And it has what I think was missing out in the world of books in regards to like sustainable fashion was something with a little bit more of a personal nature. So, you know, because I've had the pleasure of being involved in the industry from, you know, kind of a thought leader to a model to an activist within the space, I wanted to get a little bit of my voice and my opinion throughout there. And I didn't want another book where it was like, hey, girls, you know, these shoes are going to save the world, yippee, because, you know, frankly, they're not going to save the world, but it's an element of doing better where you can and where you're at within your life, and knowing that the purchases that we do, whether it's the food that we put in the body, the beauty products that we put on our skin, the clothes that we wear do have a natural impact and reverberate throughout the world. So it does have a little bit more of that soul to it, and it goes over, kind of luminaries and also other pioneers within the industry who have helped shape it today. Great products, great stories from style setters as well as design trendsetters within the area. And it was a very taxing process, and there is a couple different reasons why. I mean, I originally had set out doing another book, which was a more like Zagat style guide, which was kind of more like pocket guides. And I originally had Penguin as a publisher, and the book was nearly finished, and then they said, we couldn't do recycled paper and soy-based inks. And I was like, you know what?
No. See ya. You're awesome!
I'm not going to put a book on virgin paper. And it was just, my agent had a hip surgery for 3 months. He was out, so we couldn't go back to pitch the book. And we went to Chronicle, and they said, we really love this concept, but we want to change the tone and double the size of it. And I was like, oh, my God. So over the course of a year, I ended up writing two books, and one inevitably got published, which is the one that you had just mentioned, which is Style Naturally.
Right.
And it was a lot to put together because it's, 350 pages. It has over 500 color images. I mean, it's a hefty tome. It's 2.5 pounds of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and photographs and all. But that's so cool. I mean, I never even heard of soy-based ink, Summer. That's amazing that you pushed for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an option out there. So, whether it's a healthier option, you never know. I mean, if you look at what's currently going on in the, I don't know if any of your readers have heard about what's going on kind of when the brands that are kind of pushing GMOs, about 90% of our soybeans are genetically modified. So a lot of brands like Silk Soy Milk and everything are kind of fighting against having GMO even labeled on their products. So basically there's a proposition that wants to be passed to show that if you're eating genetically modified versus organic versus other types of like conventional or natural or whatever. And a lot of brands are coming out and fighting it because so much of our food is genetically modified. So mm-hmm. Who knows? I mean, the ink is soy-based, so it is plant-based, but it could be coming from genetically modified stuff. You never know. There's like a lot of...
I know. You never know. That's, a big topic on our show. It can say organic, but, it's only got to be 10% organic to say organic. So there's all that going on. I get what you're saying. Totally. I want to thank you so much for your time. I know that you've got a crazy schedule, and I just wanted to leave off with, I know you don't have any of your own children yet. We can't wait for your spawn, but I did see lots of pictures of you giving filled with classrooms of kids and speaking at universities. I know you've done so much work in Mozambique. We didn't even get to that, but again, all of you listening out there, Summer is a power to reckon with, and you can find all the information. And I guess I'll just leave you off with one question, Summer. With all these children that you've reached, what's one of your favorite memories of speaking to these kids and these pictures that I saw?
I really enjoyed, and this is quite a while ago, but I enjoyed speaking at Springside Elementary, which is based in and around Philadelphia. And I found the fifth and sixth graders out of all the kind of students that I've talked to from kindergarten to, my peers and people in college, and that fifth and sixth grade is kind of a ripe time to speak with children because they're not too cool for school yet, and they're mm-hmm. just kind of, really forming their personalities, and they're very open-minded to a lot of different possibilities. I found kindergarten to be the hardest. I remember when I had, this plastic bottle holding in front of me, and I'm like, who knows where this plastic bottle comes from? And the one child raised his hand, and he goes, unicorn! And I was like, oh, that's wrong.
Oh, that's awesome. So you get in there and you talk to them about materials and what's up with them. That's amazing.
No, it's fun. You know, I think that a lot of kids these days might not know, like, plastic bottles come from the store for all they know. And mm-hmm. What I was trying to get to is that, no, plastic comes from the earth. It comes from the petroleum, and you have to drill in order to get to the petroleum. And so it's really about, you know, going back down to the source and the raw material. So, you know, it jogs the mind a little bit, but it gets kids to start thinking about where their stuff comes from.
And that is rad. Summer, thank you so much for being with us. And also for being a local. I just have to bring that in there. Out of all the cities and reclusive towns that Summer could pick to have her, you know, her home front be in, though I know that you are, you know, worldwide at this point, she has picked Brooklyn, which is where we hail from ourselves, the station, Heritage Radio Network. And thanks for keeping it local. I know that you've been, I read on another interview that you've been using a lot of the Brooklyn businesses and artists to help the build out of your home. And how are you liking it here? How long have you been here?
This is great. I mean, I'm going through building a vertical garden on my wall, and one of my friends, William Harvey, who's an amazing, you know, furniture designer, who's lived in Brooklyn almost all his life. He's helped start up this idea of the North Creative Brooklyn Economy Zone. So on Monday, we have, one of the families have bought the Domino Sugar Factory. So we're going to go there, and we're going to try to convince them to kind of turn it into this really cool, like, jive-in, like, artistic hub with, like, multi-use. Because I think part of, like, what is so awesome around, you know, my neighborhood is that I could go down and go to the wood shop or the metal shop or, you know, the local vintage store and, like, you know, get whatever fixed. I could go to the tailor. I could get my, a heel tap on my shoe. I could go to the vintage shop. It's the Brooklyn cheese shop. Like, there's just, like, so much cool stuff. That's why people come here. It's not because there's a Duane Reade on the corner.
Right.
So, you know, you want to keep that vibrancy even when the culture is shifting and changing within Brooklyn itself.
Yeah, and I've been here for 12 years, and I've seen it all happen, and it's an exciting time in Brooklyn, and it's even more exciting knowing that, you know, high-profile people like you are just appreciating it and picking it as your home. Thank you so much, Summer, and I really look forward to this Domino Sugar Factory project, because I got to tell you, I remember many, many years ago, we used to break in there and throw parties, and it's a great space. It's a great space, and it's been the... It was a big topic for many of us artists at the time, what's going to happen to the Domino. So, you know, that is very cool, and I wish you and our community all the luck with that project. Thank you so much, Summer.
Thank you. You take care.
Love and light. Have a great day. This has been another episode of Growing Good, and this is your DJ, Mama Sandra, signing off with a song by one of my new favorite, mind-blowing family circus experiences. His name is Lard Dog, and this is Lord Dog with one of his songs, Yum Yum Co. Thanks so much, and tune in to Heritage Radio Network. Also, try to become one of our sponsors and members at heritageradionetwork.org.
Prepare yourself for an exciting experience into the world of the 23rd dimension.
The yum yum headgear. Company the yum yum headgear. Company the yum yum headgear.
Some trees are very large. There is no extra charge. A rainbow of colors out of sight. Shiny blue, yellow, and white. Ba 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 ba. Yum yum.
Thinking of our happiness as we sit alone at night. We don't ask for much to.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.